Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. Welcome to this special bonus episode of Technovation. I wanted to share a conversation from our Meta Strategy Summit in 2019. And to help me introduce the session is the person who led the conversation, Meta Strategy Vice President and West Coast Lead, Chris Davis. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Peter. Happy to be here.
Chris, the topic of the panel that you led was digital transformation. And I know some listeners may hear that topic and think that it's a bit stale. But you come from the perspective that it's a topic that remains on the ascent and perhaps maybe even is a bit misunderstood. And therefore, it's important to revisit progress that leaders are charting so that others can learn from them. Can you talk a bit about your own perspective on the topic?
Yeah, happy to, Peter. I think when you look at the economy, when you look at the business landscape, what's apparent to me is that the speed with which things are changing is ever increasing. I don't see it slowing down, and there's no evidence that it will. And so when you think about speed, when you think about the need for organizational agility, the time to market to capture new opportunities, to respond to things that aren't going in your favor, all of that points directly to harnessing digital in a way that is more effective, more well thought out, but also permeates your entire business. A lot of organizations approach technology, generally speaking, but this notion of quote unquote digital as this new business unit, as this separate endeavor, as this thing that they're going to do on top of all of the other business processes that they have. And I challenge that. I think that we need to rethink this term digital. And so we think about digital in three ways, Peter. The first is digitization. This is taking the paper format and turning it into an electronic format. So if we use a manufacturing organization as the example, this is your paper checklist that is moving into an iPad or some other sort of digital workflow. The second example is digitalization. It's taking an existing business process and either automating it or putting it in an electronic format so that it can get done in a self-service manner or a human-assisted way. So an example might be you used to call up a sales agent to reorder a part that broke. Now you might be able to transact online, order it, find out when it's being shipped, get a text message when it's on its way, and you have a portal to manage your entire supply chain. The third element, which is really where a lot of the jargon and probably the hype cycle has gone up and down on, is this term digital transformation. For us, Peter, we think about this as a complete retooling and rethinking of your business model. This is looking at the people you have deployed, the processes that you're using, the technology, of course, that's in play, but also how you measure and capture value in a fundamentally different way. An example, again, with manufacturing might be, well, people used to just call you to buy new parts when something broke. They'd retire things that were already being used. Well, what if you decided, you know, the things that we produce are really expensive, they're large. We're going to create an aftermarket. It's going to be a marketplace where our customers can sell refurbished products to each other, and we're just going to capture a percentage off of that. It's a fundamentally new way to create value, obviously driven and scaled through digital, but that the company didn't have at its exposure before. So we think, Peter, digital is becoming only more important, and we don't see it slowing down.
That's great context, Chris. I appreciate that. I want to talk a bit about the speakers who joined you on stage. The conversation featured Andy Karaboutis, a former chief information officer of Dell, former executive vice president of technology, business solutions, and corporate affairs at Biogen, and now the chief information officer and chief digital officer of National Grid, a major energy corporation based in the UK, but with major operations on both sides of the Atlantic. I should also mention a board member of Advance Auto Parts in Perrigo, as well as Diane Schwarz, former chief information officer of Textron, now the chief information officer and chief digital officer of Hunt Consolidated. So a different sort of energy company in her case. And so wanted to talk a bit about these two leaders who explicitly entitle and indeed lead digital for their companies. We'll hear the full conversation momentarily, but maybe provide us a little bit of an introduction as to what you found compelling about their conversation.
Yeah, you know, Peter, what's so interesting is that both of these executives are in the industrial space, whether it's literally oil discovery. When we joke about data is the new oil, like this is a company that's in the business of doing that for oil, as well as the electric grid. So when you think about these two industries, the pace with which they need to operate, the level of sensor information, this screams data, this screams Internet of Things. And these are organizations that have to be operationally excellent, not just so that they can just keep up with the volume of transactions and work that comes their way, but also for safety. And so we joked at the outset, we're taking digital back. You can think about digital in terms of products and services, digitalizing the customer experience, but there's also a huge component that is how do you digitalize your operations? And so this isn't just a cute chatbot here, an e-commerce app there. This is mission critical stuff that these companies collapse if technology and quote unquote digital isn't driving the agenda. And it's not just about being reactive. It's about being proactive so that they can think about how they unlock new sources of value. So what I love about the conversation, Peter, is both Diane and Andy had some great sound bites. Andy, when asked about how do you drive the digital agenda in a company of your size and in a new industry for you, she said, well, you know, when I came in, I observed lots of random acts of digital, not unlike random acts of kindness. And she had to find a way to harness all of those random acts and coordinate them and put some intention and prioritization behind it. And with Diane, we talked about the battle for talent and the need to have great people to help drive this type of transformation and building on her industry and background. She said, you know, we had to get creative with our ability to find talent. So we went fracking for talent. And both Diane and Andy, I think, have a really unique, very informative view about how as chief digital officers who were born out of IT, this wasn't something that just came out as in parallel, but they have both a chief information officer and digital officer remit to their organization. And I really enjoy their points of view on how to drive the digital agenda.
Excellent. Well, without further ado, let's go to your conversation, Chris, with Andy Karaboutis and Diane Schwarz.
I'm going to call this the James Bond panel. When you think about the experiences that my two panelists have, it pieces together the perfect arc of the opening scene of a James Bond movie. You can imagine a villain stealing some state secrets. They're running away and they're getting in a fast car. That car goes off a ledge, and as the car is going into the water, James Bond is jumping onto a helicopter. That helicopter turns into an airplane, which turns into a spaceship, and all along, the computer hacker from behind the scene is connecting the dots. So between the two of them, we have aerospace and defense experience, GM and Ford from a car experience, security. So when you think about digital, a lot of people think about, well, the chatbot. How do I make a cute app that engages customers? And I said it this morning, but this panel is going to take digital back. These are companies, National Grid and Hunt Consolidated, where digital provides mission-critical business capability. We're talking about people's lives. We're talking about safety. We're talking about unlocking customer value, no doubt about it. But it really changes the paradigm, in my opinion, that it's not about digital on the edge, digital just with sales and marketing, but we're here to talk about digital in helping businesses compete. And so I'll start by asking both of you to introduce yourselves and provide a little bit of context, and then we'll peel back the onion a little bit further. So Diana, I wonder if you can, Hunt Consolidated is a large company that has lots of different pieces, and you're not new to that. At Textron, it was a similar paradigm, and Honeywell before that. So can you provide the audience just a little bit of a spectrum into all of the different components that fit under that large umbrella?
Sure. And so yes, I'm new to Hunt Consolidated, and know that's a brand that most people don't know. Although if you're in the Dallas area or in Texas, the Hunt family is relatively iconic. They value their privacy and view privacy as a competitive advantage, which makes it difficult when you're navigating a new job, really investigating that company. But we're very big in both domestic and international oil and gas exploration and production. That's a mouthful. So we do both upstream and we do midstream, if any people know the industry as well. We also do alternative energies and working in wind farms and production of batteries for solar farms and really doing some R&D on where energy is going to go. But we also have some great plays in real estate, most of it here locally. So if any of you know Reunion Tower, the big ball that lights up, for example, that's one of our fantastic properties. And when you are in oil and gas, you own lots of land. And you can multi-purpose that land. So we also have ranching as one of the business units that we have. So I have a very diverse portfolio that I am getting my arms around. So I've been in the role. I joined last August. When we talk about taking digital back, one thing to note, so when they put out the job search, it was a pretty typical chief information officer description. And as I worked through the interview process and got down to the end with the CEO, I really influenced the chief digital and information officer to send a very intentional message to the organization that I and this position and technology isn't what it was when it was run in the previous legacy. And so, yeah, I took digital back when I negotiated the final offer.
That's great. Thanks, Anne. And Andy, National Grid is a British firm, and so it may not be a household name for everyone here, but $15 billion British pounds, or 15 billion British pounds, which for the conversion today is a little bit lower. So we're talking like 19 billion USD. But talk to us a little bit about the scope of National Grid.
Yeah, so thanks, Chris. So as you said, National Grid is a British multinational utility company. In essence, we do electricity and gas transmission in the UK, which is a B2B business. If you think about it as just transmission, it's all of England, Wales, part of Scotland. And in the US, we have portions of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New York. Most people in the US think it's an American company. Most people in the UK consider it only a British company, but it is a British multinational. The only thing I can claim about real estate is I can look out my window on Trafalgar Square and see Lord Nelson, but we don't own him, the statue, or probably the real estate. But I had to do something exciting there to, you know, for that continuum. If you think about what Diane just described about being an energy source, what National Grid does, we don't own the energy, but we own all of the assets that transmit that energy. And in the U.S., we're a B2C company, whereas we also do the distribution. So we take the high voltage, we step it down through substations to lower voltage and do the last mile to houses and businesses. Can't emphasize enough what Chris said relative to the fact that I did a stint in biotech, and I thought, how do you top helping save people's lives? Until you go to a utility company and realize that if you don't work to the level of Six Sigma, you can take people's lives. And that really is a calling. And so as the world moves forward on digital and we think about a utility company, which is at the low end of digital, it is probably not up where retail or financial services are. It's really at the low end of digital. You think, well, it just needs to be a state, you know, entity that just transmits and you don't worry about. But you think about forest fires in California, and you think about if there were sensors potentially on poles, they could say, I have something that's butting up against me right now that shouldn't be, and that could set alarms. If you think about a few weeks ago, we had someone who lost both legs when a massive metal plate that usually covers construction sites slid off of a truck and severed someone's legs who was working for National Grid. You think about if we had sensors and if we had, you know, digital capabilities that could forewarn those things, what could we have done?
Yeah.
So both for the customer community and internally to our National Grid employees, digital becomes really important. And like Diane, when I got the call, I thought to myself, why would I go to a utility company? Until some of those scenarios were painted for me and realized that this isn't just a CIO role. It's a CIDO role, and it's actually two roles because they are very distinct and different. And so that's kind of my story on why I'm here.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I want to connect the dots because in both of your introductions, the thing that screams out to me, especially for this space, when you think about the term digital, it can be products and services, it could be customer experience, it could be core information. And the common moniker is people, process, technology. But for me, in digital, you have to add information to that. And it's when you combine those four things that you then enable that great customer experience. And so, Dan, I wanted to start with you. When you think about the role that data plays in unlocking new capability, whether it's in oil exploration or other facets of the Hunt Consolidated umbrella, where do you think the possibilities go? Because your industry is one where IoT is not hype. IoT is very a very material opportunity to drive better decision-making, to improve business operations. So I wonder if you could just sort of expand on the business opportunity of digital, especially with data at the center of it.
So it's hard to imagine anything in, and I'll focus on the oil aspects of our business,
yeah.
How to find an area where data is not impacting it. We were at a large supplier yesterday, Halliburton in Houston, with our bunch of drilling and exploration and geologists. They were all highly technical business guys. Yeah, they were all guys. And every bit of these 6 hours of presentations that we sat through was all about digital and data, right? So we weren't talking about frack fluid, and we weren't talking about drill bits, and we weren't talking about workover costs. It wasn't all of the traditional conversations. It was all how they're using AI and predictive analytics and visualization and what they're doing as a supplier to make a difference in how we drill rigs. So it was really interesting to me to see real time how data is changing their business and therefore impacting us. But what was really fascinating to me, so I'm new in learning this business, obviously, since I came from aerospace and defense and manufacturing, is how complicated the earth is. You're blind. Literally, you're blind when you're drilling. So you go down about a mile and you go out 2 miles, and the rocks are not uniform. And so you're making all of these assumptions about what kind of drill bit you put in and how you're going to get all of this fluid out of the earth and how you're going to do that over a number of years. And so when you think about how data can help with that, AI is absolutely one, but you need to gather all of this data in very creative ways on, you know, the earth is billions of years old and our knowledge relative to that is just this much. Mm-hmm. So data is absolutely transforming the oil industry, but we have a long way to go because there's so much that we don't know. So that's one aspect. But when you said we do two jobs, and Wayne, you pointed out, if we don't do the I part of our job, we're not going to get anywhere on the D. So equipping people with basics, getting them out of Excel hell, has been a large part of my role the last 6 months, sure. Getting them out of email hell. So it's great that we can talk about all of these fantastic analytics and AI and visualization and what it's going to do. Except that when I look at the tip of the iceberg, there's just a whole bunch of weight underneath the water that it's going to take years to get them thinking on a different plane and acting on a different plane.
Yeah, so to that end, and you mentioned it when you first were approached with the job, it was a CIO and you recrafted it and broadened the horizon. And so part of this, and we heard this in the earlier conversations, and I think one of the earlier panelists said that quote unquote digital transformation is changing every function of the company. And Wayne, that might have been you. And so a lot of it is this mindset shift. And so both firms have been around for a long time. Maybe on its face value, one wouldn't scream technology or changing the way things work. Oil or electricity have been foundational to economic success. And it's a little bit of, if you have that opportunity, you just sort of milk the cow and keep making the best of it. But Andy, you were a recent winner of the Forbes Innovation Award at our London conference last year, and part of that was the National Grid Labs, yeah. And how you came in and tried to infuse digital DNA into the organization. I wonder if you can sort of, for people where the business partners or the rest of the organization isn't quite there, mm-hmm. How do you break through? How do you pick a point to start to go from Excel hell to the excitement of opportunity just to get the momentum going?
So when I came into National Grid, you do what you always do. You listen for a while, you watch, et cetera. You have to talk to the board and the senior executive team and your CEO on what they really think digital is. And then you have to share observations. We had random acts of digital. Good random acts of digital. We prioritized, we had sparks, we got people excited, we did things, and they were great. Except half of them, forgive me, were optimizing the wort on an elephant's butt that we didn't even want in the room, right? And so the CEO recognized, together with the digital side of my shop, which was very small, very weak, and we've built up since, that we really need big, hairy, audacious goals to talk about what we want to do in a digital world. And so I'll tell you exactly what it is. So to your point, a few minutes ago, Chris, you said it's internal operations, customer enablement and engagement, new products and services. So we looked at all three and we said, what do we want to do? We had to do something on internal operations, which we ended up doing for employee and we're still doing now, which is a new intranet so that we could get rid of friction. Because until you can actually show your employees this is a real initiative, this is real action and culture change, you're not going to get that energy. So first thing we did is something simple. We're putting in a new intranet. We got Unily. We did all of the things we needed to do, co-sponsored with corporate affairs, because you can't just put wireframes out there. You need really great content for intranets. So that's one piece. But the board and the CEO and I actually sat down and said, what we really see as our North Star for digital is customer engagement enablement, not a better IVR, but you don't need an IVR. What you do is you need a portal where customers can say, I'm going in, I have a new house, I need someone to hook me up. Can you slot book me? I have 3 days available. And you get a date that's reliable. On the operation side, the grid operation side, we said we don't want anybody hurt again, and we want the most reliable grid. That's the North Star. And how do you do that? You no longer send a man or a woman up to the top of a substation to see if a bushing is discharging. If there's a sensor up there, and it phones home to tell you that the bushing is discharging or that the circuit breaker is wearing. And so do we believe that we're never going to have a call center that's personless or manless? Do we believe that we're never going to have grid operations that will never require a human being? No, but that is the North Star. And until you set some kind of a vision like that, then the projects that you work on won't be leading in that right direction. So I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll get back to the digital labs here in a sec.
No worries.
But I'll give you a perfect example. I have two digital labs, one in the UK, one in the US. It started out at about 25 people. It's less than 50. It will stay less than 50. That's how we want to keep that nucleus going, and we prioritize what goes through it. I went into the digital labs in the US. I said, what's the latest and greatest that's come through our pipeline of digital ideas you're working on? We're working on a watch that when the person goes out to the house to turn off gas because someone hasn't paid their bill, they can discreetly hit a button if they feel threatened when somebody comes out with a gun because get off my property, you can't turn off my gas. Isn't that great? And I said, that is great. But our North Star says we want to be able to turn off gas without somebody needing to go out to the house. Mm-hmm. Therefore, go ahead and finish your watch as a short term. Recognize it's not part of the big, hairy, audacious goal. Doesn't make it less important. It's important for the short game. But the long game says we have to have advanced metering infrastructure where we can remotely turn off gas and not still walk up to people's houses to hit with pliers and this, that, and the other thing. Why are those things important? Because if we all keep doing random acts of digital and exciting things, and some of things might release value, et cetera, you're really not going to that long term that your board and your CEO and you want have agreed that you want to go. So you have to keep that in play. So back to the digital teams, it's outstanding. They have learned, you know, they're agile, they drive agile, they're teaching the rest of the organization scaled agile. We actually now have the Agile Center of Excellence for the company. Because your business people need to go through agile training, right? You can't be an IT or just a digital team doing it. They have to go through agile training. And so both of these teams are great. We rotate people through them. Some of the best talent that we get is straight out of the universities. People that are not tainted. Somebody said it earlier. If you start with all the reasons why you can't do something, we're putting an S4 as a digital financials platform, right? If you start with all the things you can't do, then you've already constrained yourself. So we get a lot of young talent coming through that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just now actually looking to hire a chief digital officer. We had some who had started it out. It's one of these things, what got you here won't get you there. So you're constantly having to rotate that talent. Did I answer any part of your question, Chris? Or did I just say what I wanted to say? Because I'm known to do that.
I think right? The audience enjoyed it either
okay.
way.
Okay, so right,
I'm going to move on. Diane, one of the interesting things, Hunt Consolidated, the word consolidated implies there's different business units. And so a question that I've always found fascinating is, when many companies start the quote-unquote digital journey, it's more of an agency model. They create a team where it's like all things digital flow through me. And then over time, you recognize that, yes, maybe that works in e-commerce. Yes, maybe that works for marketing landing pages. Maybe it works for a few mobile apps that you want to build. But eventually, that doesn't scale. And that digital needs to permeate and be core to the actual fabric of how all of the different businesses are operating. So I wonder if you can comment on how you think about what is sort of common digital capability that you want to build across the enterprise and what you want to sort of infuse as sources of differentiation for each of the units that are under the umbrella.
So it's a little difficult to say that we have some things in common because we have such diverse businesses.
Right.
But you can really say things that differentiate a business stay in the business.
Yeah.
And things like delivering cloud capabilities so the business can build off of them mm-hmm. are going to be more of the core competencies.
Yeah.
But I will talk a little bit about the structure of how we have innovation. So we absolutely have random acts of kindness. I'm going to plagiarize the heck out of that thing.
Random acts of digital.
They're all kind.
So I don't have shadow IT because it's right out there in the open and it's pervasive in the oil company. And then we have some new business unit innovation hubs where they are specifically funded to find the next great business unit of the future. So those things are absolutely going on. But something that we're starting to tap into, it's not yet digital, but I'll call it innovation. So our CFO started a year and a half ago. So she got her head start ahead of me. And before that, there hadn't been much infusion of new blood. So she started what's called the Collaboration Resource Group or Collaborative Resource Group, CRG. It's a group of volunteers that really want exposure to the business and talent development. So we'll come up with an idea and say, call it a sprint for 6 or 8 weeks. Who wants to take some extra time out of their job and work on this project? So just a couple of examples. One of them, I mentioned Reunion Tower, which we own, will be to go and be like secret shoppers over there and re-envision what that visitor experience should look like. Another one was developing a business plan for some of our energy operations in Mexico. Another one was much simpler, but should we put room reservations on Outlook? Because we had territories that were everywhere. And so we're getting visibility to all kinds of talent across the organization that are raising their hands that says, I want to be part of this new generation. Mm. So I'm really hoping that we can start to marry this talent with digital initiatives as we start to get some momentum. So you have the well-funded enterprises I want to tap into. It's like fracking. I'm fracking for talent. That's what I'm doing. Because when you frack, right, you push water and sand into all of the little crevices to get oil back out.
All right. We're trademarking everything here. We're fracking for talent, random acts of digital. I haven't come up with anything good yet. So you both have digital in your title. And I think that that's a controversial thing for some companies. And it's sort of one of two minds. Some companies exist, there's a chief digital officer and a chief information officer. Sometimes in both of your cases, it's a shared title and you're making it explicit that there is that customer orientation, that external value orientation. But for others in the room, who maybe they're a chief information officer and they have a peer who's a chief digital officer or a boss perhaps, how does that working relationship evolve? Like, is the chief digital officer title here to stay? Is it a moment in time that's rebranding the role that technology leaders have? Like, where do we go from here? And what's the utility in the term digital in one's title?
So I'll start. It's not a bad thing to have two,
yeah.
Right? And it is risky to be two in one. I'll be very honest.
Okay.
Because, as a matter of fact, Harvard Business Review just had an article not too long ago about this. But CIOs that become CIDOs, there is a bigger propensity for failure than not. Now, I took that, heeded it, and said, that just means we have to work even harder and make sure we're doing this right. And the reason is exactly what we said before. Three reasons why digital strategies fail is you get mired in all of the IT legacy stuff that you say you have to fix before you can go become a digital business and digital centric around customer. That's one. You don't have a strategy. You just have a lot of random acts.
Yeah.
That's two. And three, you never change the culture.
Yeah.
And it is huge to change the culture, right? The part about getting mired in IT foundational things that need to change is the risk that I see a CIDO or CDIO, whatever you want to call it, runs. And that is because you do say, well, I have to upgrade my legacy systems. I've got to get my billing systems done. We have to get off of ECC and onto S4. And it never ends.
Yeah.
Two-in-ones need to think about, what is it I absolutely have to upgrade in order to meet a digital capability or be able to put it out there? What is it that I'm just going to build and fold in and replace? And what is it I'm going to fake it till we make it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're going to figure out how to do this fast. I'm going to get the billing and pricing. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. To be a successful, for me, chief digital information officer, you have to really decide where everything falls on that spectrum. If you don't decide, then you fall the risk.
Mm-hmm.
By having a separate CDO and CIO, it's actually easier. And I know some of you can say, well, good for you, Princess. You're up there with both titles. You can say what you want. But the reality is, it is easier because the CIO will then just focus heavily on this and partner in the CD.
Yeah.
So you have to structure your organization such that you've set those constructs and you're aware of that pitfall. And it is a big pitfall.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So that's kind of how I think about it. And if you think about it that way maturely, for those companies that have a CIO and a CDO, partner with it because then you could usurp it, right? Don't fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be doing this because
right.
once you do that, the company loses and you lose,
yeah.
right? So embrace whatever construct there is and deliver it.
Okay. I'll open up the questions in just 1 minute. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've always thought that Chief Information Officer was a terrible title anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't describe the bulk of what we have historically done. So I'm looking forward when we build out all these new business capabilities that we can reinvent a more appropriate title for what we actually do. So I don't know.
Very good.
I don't have the proposal out there.
Yeah, no, totally fair. I think the future in time will tell. I want to open it up to questions. Yeah, please, Atticus Tyson of Intuit.
Maybe to ask a slightly controversial question, I've kind of always thought that if you had a CDO, it meant you had the wrong CIO because they weren't really thinking forward enough. You're both. What do you think of this idea that the CDO was maybe a passing fad until the CIOs got more strategic? And what do you see has been the real advantage of having both titles versus just calling yourself a CIO but doing it in a forward-thinking way?
Well, practically, if you're the CIO, CDO, you have outward-facing and inward-facing. You're doing customer systems. You're out there customer systems. Some would say that's the CTO, by the way, so there's that whole other thing going on.
Especially if you're in a tech company.
Especially if you're in a tech company. So is it a passing fad? Look, there's a bolus of work. There's a view that there is customer centricity products and services that digital tie together. In retail, it's platforms of physical and digital virtual coming together. For me, it's all about embracing all of that work. And whatever construct in the company works, it works. It's sort of like digital models. You touched on it before, Chris, right? There is the federated, there is the concentric, and then there is the hub and spoke. There is no right answer. It's just that work exists. Pick the model that works for your industry and your company. We happen to be hub and spoke. I happen to be the CIDO. I think if they put a CDO in the company, probably for where we are down here, it might, in our industry, it might confuse things even more. But if I was a different person, it might have been something better. I don't know. So I'm not so sure I'd get that hung up on what the right construct is versus wrong, because it's different by industry, it's different by company. The important thing is to get the work done to meet the strategic goals of the organization.
But just as a as one additional anecdote, Peter published a podcast with Hervé, who's the chief digital officer of Schneider Electric, a couple of weeks ago. And Hervé was the chief information officer for something like 10 years. And then they created the chief digital officer role where IT reports in, the IoT analytical, this is Schneider Electric elevators. So you can imagine they were doing IoT before that was a term. The core data and analytics team among product management and some other functions. And what he talks about is the benefit was, and this is a little bit what Andy was alluding to, they were finding that IT was too inwardly focused. And by elevating that role and actually having a reporting relationship, it provided clarity that IT's charter could be explicitly internal business operations and that there were other teams that were external. But because there's one reporting relationship, it's not contentious, but it's collaborative. And I think that that's, you were doing the fist bumping, that's certainly the thing I think we're all trying to solve for. We have time for one more question. If there's any anyone in the audience that would like to ask anything. All right, well, I'll ask one more. So Diane, you mentioned you're in a meeting with a number of oil executives. You noted they were all men, but we'll hope that that gets better. And you're saying, well, it's all about AI and data and analytics. For the oil, gas, and electricity industry, what is hype and what is real? Like, what are the technologies that you're truly excited about? And what are the ones that you think are just sort of drops in the bucket and it's all marketing?
That's tough. So in this supplier deep dive that we had yesterday, there's all of these great stories about how they can improve productivity of a well 10, 15%, the little bit of AI put onto it. And you walk away from that meeting, and on the plane back with my associates, they said, yeah, but they're too expensive and we'd rather go with this other supplier anyway. So we're just good with what we've had. They look at it and say, they just demonstrated how you can have a 15% improvement. That's millions of dollars that you're going to drop directly to the bottom line. You're going to say, yeah, no, we know what we're doing. So I'm still teasing that out because I'm new to the organization and I think new to the hype. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that you can apply data to understand what's underneath our earth and factor out how you're going to get more of it out and better and continue to do that. It's just a matter of winning over the hearts and minds of everyone who's been doing it the same way for 35 years.
Yeah, good point.
For us, hype is these mobile apps. Mobile apps are not, I'm going to say something controversial, are not digital. They used to be the, mobile apps are not digital, right? What's digital, so, you know, we have apps. It was the first, the random acts of digital that people showed me that we download and it'll show you the weather and there's an outage in this part of Rhode Island and, you know, when's the outage going away? That's interesting, a cocktail hour information. And when you look at the downloads compared to the, you know, 20 million people we serve, it's minuscule. What's real is you can't store electricity today. You can store gas in tanks, but electricity is something that gets traded back and forth, and it can't be stored easily. Yes, we're working with Tesla. We're putting the number one battery, you know, size battery installation in Nantucket with Tesla Energy. But what's real is how do you use technologies like blockchain, which are a little hype but are very real as well, to do electricity balancing and trading so that you're optimizing the cost. To do those are the real things. It is making sure that you can sense those outages so that they don't happen, not the downloadable apps. So we all need to get over our mobile apps, right? When I was in the biotech industry, we had the health apps and that. They are real. I don't mean to minimize them, but that's not true digital at the heart of meeting the objectives of your corporate goals and what you want to do.
Wonderful. So let me summarize here to close out. First is identify the random acts of digital. The second is frack for talent, so that you can identify the people who are excited to go on with the journey, identify the North Star. And so even in pursuit of things that may be well-intentioned, you can craft and make sure that you're really advancing the ultimate goal, that it's not the watch that solves an interim problem, but it really solves the root cause. So please join me in thanking Diane and Andy.
Thanks for tuning in, and please join me next week when my guest will be Naresh Shankar, the Chief Technology Officer of Xerox.